Attende, Domine, et miserere, quia peccavimus tibi.
Because in today's gospel, many try to figure out just how many times we are to forgive each other. Peter was only asking to forgive his brothers 7 times, but our Lord says to him, you must forgive your brothers 77 times 7, and that is because 7 is the perfect number. Our Lord does not mean here that we must only forgive each other 144 times today, as an improper understanding of Scripture would indicate, but he says we are to forgive each and every time a person from their heart asks for forgiveness, and we are to do so because the Master forgave us our debt. For in today's parable, our Lord is speaking of himself as the Master, for he canceled the whole debt of the human family when mankind had offended him. And so we must, in imitation of our Lord, be willing to forgive our neighbor as he has forgiven us. And in today's gospel and during the Lent, we have traditionally put our minds and hearts in making reparation for sins and praying especially for the poor souls in purgatory. Today's gospel has an allusion to purgatory, for the Master says of the one who was forgiven much that he was to be handed over to the torturers until he paid the final debt. The doctors and fathers of the Church have seen in this, contrary to our Protestant brethren who deny the doctrine of purgatory, have seen in this an allusion to purgatory, because he says that the Master does not hand the servant over, the worthless servant over to the torturers for all eternity, but until that time in which the full debt is paid. And indeed, when we reflect upon the doctrine of the existence of purgatory, we reflect upon the mercy of God, for we do not understand the nature of the beatific vision in this life. For if the human person were to partake of the beatific vision with even the slightest imperfection on his soul, that vision would annihilate him, as some of the doctors and fathers describe it. And so purgatory is indeed a place of God's mercy, because if we are so unfortunate to have to spend time in purgatory, we are purged of even the slightest imperfection, so that we may partake in that most blessed of all things, the beatific vision of God, for all eternity. And so this Lent, let us reflect that we have the great opportunity to make reparation for our sins, to make reparation for the sins of the whole world, so that all may come to know that most glorious of all things, the beatific vision of God, for all eternity. And so we must be willing to forgive each other as the Lord has forgiven us. We must be willing to take up the cross each and every day, each and every moment of our life, as our Lord took up the cross from the moment he became flesh in the womb of the Virgin Mary until that time when the sacrifice was completed on Mount Calvary. And if we think that the Lord did not begin to suffer for fallen humanity from the first moment he began to dwell in the womb of the Blessed Virgin Mary, we need only reflect that he is described by St. John the Evangelist as the Word, and the Word would remain silent for 9 months in the womb of the Mother of God. And so he truly began, because he dwelt in the womb in silence and in darkness, waiting for the time when he would come forth to begin his pain and his suffering most earnestly. St. Alphonsus de Liguori explains very eloquently the sufferings of the infant child in the cave at Bethlehem, and from there he goes on to suffer more and more, until that suffering would reach a pinnacle and would become the sacrifice for all humanity. And so let us truly this Lent begin to enter into the mystery of our salvation, enter into the mystery of the communion of the whole Church, the Church triumphant, the Church suffering, and the Church militant. And we who are members of the Church militant have the great opportunity to make reparation for the Church suffering in purgatory. For while they can pray for us, they can do nothing to mitigate the suffering of purgatory. It is dependent upon us, and the saints assure us that if by our prayers and our penances we cooperate in the releasing of a soul from purgatory, then we will have a friend in heaven who will work earnestly for our salvation by their prayers, constantly looking to bring us to that state of perfection where we need not spend any moment in purgatory. And so, as St. Thomas Aquinas reminds us, let us aim high, let us aim heaven, because if we at least aim high and miss, then we will fall in purgatory. But if we merely aim in this life to enter into purgatory, if we merely become comfortable with our venial sins, with our venial faults, and with our venial failings, where do we go if we miss the target? If we aim for purgatory and we miss the mark, then there is no other place for the soul to go but to be condemned for all eternity. And so the stakes are very high. So let us aim high, because the Lord attained for us all the graces necessary to aspire to the highest, of all ideals, that is, to attain that vision of God Himself for all eternity in heaven. And by His sacrifice, we have at our disposal the graces necessary for us to overcome even the slightest imperfection. But we must be patient with ourselves, because we must realize that God will leave imperfections in us until He comes to take us, so that we always are constantly reminded of our complete dependence upon the mercy of God and upon the grace of God, and that nothing we do that is good we do without the grace of God. And so let us constantly beseech the Mother of God to intercede for us, to keep us under her maternal mantle, so that we may truly become sons of God that we were made in our baptism, that we may truly show the marks of her Son in our lives and in our bodies, that we may truly, as St. Paul reminds us, make up what was lacking in the sufferings of Christ. Not that, strictly speaking, anything was lacking in the suffering of Christ, but He has constituted the mystery of salvation in such a fashion that He desires and wishes human beings to cooperate with Him. And so the greatest thing we can do in this life is to worthily participate in the sacrifice of Christ at the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass, where we unite our own sufferings and our own sacrifices to His for the salvation of the world, so that we may attain the grace to become Christ in this life, so that each and every generation in the members of the mystical body may see Christ walking through the world, may see Christ dwelling in the world, so that they may come to know Him in that most profound of all mysteries, that most profound of all humiliations, in which the Son of God Himself remains with us to the end of time and all the tabernacles of the world in His hidden presence, His final humiliation, in which His glory is hidden under the appearance of bread and wine. But we of the household of the faith know that our senses are truly deceived in face of this most spectacular and marvelous of all miracles, the Eucharistic miracles, in which Christ truly is present in the world until the end of time, body, blood, soul, and divinity, not just in the heart of the believer, not just in the mind of the believer, not just in the imagination of the believer, but truly and really present, and it makes no difference what human beings think. God is with us until the end of time. That is a truth of our faith. It's not a product of our emotion. It's not a product of our feelings. It is a reality, and it is the most profound of all realities, because it is the final humiliation of the Son of God by which He is truly present with us. And so we truly have nothing to fear, because Christ is among us as He was amongst the apostles, and He will be so in this mystery until the end of time. And so let us go forward in faith, conquering the world for the kingdom of Christ, for He has given us much, and so much will be expected. St. Alphonsus de Liguori says that though Judas was condemned for all eternity for one mortal sin, but many of us have been so unfortunate to fall into several. He says it is a mystery, but it is a mystery that we will come to understand in the final days. But He reminds us that to whom much is given, much will be expected. And we have received much because we have received the purpose of the coming of the Son of God, to establish His presence until the end of time, so that it may truly become the fountain of grace, it may truly become the center of our lives, so that all our thoughts, all our words, all our deeds, all our actions may flow from our belief in the Eucharistic miracle, That is why the saints became saints, because they understood in the most profound way what it meant that God was with us until the end of time. And so, let us go forward with all the saints. Let us march into the world knowing that He is with us, because that is how the saints went about their lives. They went about with complete confidence in divine providence, not worrying about the evil that tomorrow would bring, because they knew Christ was with them today, and He would be with them tomorrow, and He will be with them all the tomorrows that the world will see until He comes finally to judge us, to judge all the living, and to judge all the dead. And we will receive our final reward, either the reward or heaven or condemnation in hell, because we did not believe that Christ was with us until the end of time, or the reward because we truly did believe that He was with us till the end of time, and so we constantly walked with Him. We literally, as St. Peter did, got behind Him as He instructed that blessed apostle. And so let us walk with Christ, not fearing what the world has in store for us as believers, not fearing what our neighbors have in store for us as believers, but only fearing Him who can judge the living and the dead. And so let us serve Him in this life so that we may attain the vision of Him in the life to come.